You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone have your Bibles? Turn with me to Genesis 1. You know you're special to God. You count. You're somebody. You're important. Every one of us are. There are no nobodies in God. Everybody is a somebody in Jesus. In fact, it really is just staggering how much God loves us, how much He cares about us, what lengths He went to bring us into the kingdom and take us home so we'd miss hell and go to heaven. I mean, if you think about that, that's just God's compassion, His love, and His care for us. He cares. God has compassion, and He has love for us more than you could ever imagine or you could ever muster. You can't even touch the love of God that He has toward you. And there's a reason for that. When you go through the Scripture and you look at how God made man and started with Adam and Eve, and you know He created them. Some people say, well, God needed someone to fellowship with. God didn't need anybody to fellowship with. He had the Son. He had the Holy Spirit. There's always been a Trinity from the very beginning of time. Before time, there was always the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They always had a society. God is a society. God has never been just a single entity. God has always been three. Hello. And then, of course, He made the angels. The angels were up there. I mean, that was obvious. They were there before Adam was created. Adam and Eve were created. You say, well, why did He create Adam and Eve? Well, He created Adam and Eve because He loved them. He wanted to share that love that He had.
Amen. Yes.
Just like God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son because He wanted us to come back to Him. He wanted to spread that love around. Hello. And, of course, love is fellowship. There is fellowship involved in that. I mean, I've heard people say God created man for fellowship because God didn't have anybody to fellowship with, but that's not really true. He's always had somebody to fellowship with. Hello? I mean, He didn't just learn that when He made man. From the very beginning of time, there always has been the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The council, you know, of what we call God in particular. Really, if you take it apart, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even in the beginning, when He made man, it says in the first chapter, 28th verse, then God blessed, 26th verse. Then God said, let us make man. Everybody say us. Yes. So there already was a plurality there. When He made man, there are already a plurality of gods, as it were. The gods being Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and no others. Don't go out and twist what I'm saying. There are no other gods out there. But when we say God, you have to define, are you talking about the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? When we say one God, we're talking about a unity. We're talking about a union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not talking about one entity when we say one God. Because Jesus is not a manifestation of God, and the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of God, and the Father is a manifestation of God. They all three are entities, and they even sit beside each other. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Hello. Not teaching on that per se, just want to throw that out so you don't get confused, because often we say there's one God, none beside me. Well, the word one has several meanings. In fact, the word one can mean singular or it can mean a union. We're of one accord here tonight. We're in one spirit tonight. And when you married your wife and your wife married you, you became one. Hello. So that's a sense that one is a union. And so that's true in Hebrew. That's also true in the Greek, in the New Testament. So here where we talk about God being one, we're talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 26th verse says, then God said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. I love that. In our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I always like to pause and say we've got authority over the creeps. So God created man, and this Hebrew word is Elohim, incidentally, which is a plural word. If you know anything about Hebrew, when you have an I-M ending, that's a plural word. Like a cherub is one angel. A cherubim is more than one angel. Seraph is an angel. Seraphim is more than one seraph. That's many angels. So when you say El, God, singular, Elohim, plural. So I don't know about that. Well, it says us and our. What did you learn in school about pronouns? About personal and plural pronouns. So God, the gods really, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him male and female created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. So we were made to conquer. We were made to subdue. We're made to overcome. You were born to overcome. You know, I taught not too long ago that we're designed for success and programmed to fail. That really, we were born to overcomers, but we've been programmed to fail. We learn in life that we're losers and we don't amount to anything. We don't count. We can't do anything. But actually, that's not the way God made us. We were made to win. We were made to overcome sin. And when we buy the lie and we let sin overcome us, we've been deceived. We've been lied to. We've been bamboozled. We were born to win. Amen? And when you look at this, this separates us from all creation. Because here it says that God made us in His image. Everybody say image.
Image.
Okay. So God created man, the 27th verse, in the image of God. He created him. 26th verse. Let us make man according to our likeness. Our image and according to our likeness. Those two Hebrew words, titzlam and demuth, mean outward form or appearance. You know, we often wonder, what does God look like? Well, we're the image created in the image of God. I've heard some people say, well, you're just making God in your own image. No, God made us in His image. Hello? Let's turn that thing around and get it straight. We do look like God because God made us in His image. God, if you look in the Bible, sits on a throne. He has arms and legs and sees. And you know, when he came down here to the earth and took on a body, what did He take on? The body of a man. Jesus, God became man. Emmanuel, God with us. Why is that? Because we were made in the image of God. God created everything. All creation was made by God. But God only birthed mankind. So no tree can claim God as its father. No monkey can claim God as his father. Only mankind can claim God as its father. God may be the creator of all things, but He is only the father of mankind. And that's why we're so special to Him. That's why He sent Jesus to die for our sins, because we were made like Him. He had an intent and purpose. He wanted to love us. And He wanted to reproduce Himself in us. And because of the sin of Adam, man fell, and the earth fell with it, because man was responsible for the earth. Therefore, as goes the one responsible, so goes all those under the one responsible.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's like a federal law, as it were. One for all for one, as the Three Musketeers used to say. But as goes the head, so goes the body, or the head of the family, so goes the family. And that, you find that all through the Scripture too. When the head of the family sinned, the whole family was subjected to the penalty of that sin, or the consequence of that sin. When the head of the family was right and got blessed, the whole family was blessed in consequence of the head of that family. Well, Adam was the head of all mankind. So when he sinned, so goes all mankind. When he fell, the whole world fell. And everybody born through him. You know the story. I'm not really teaching on righteousness per se, but when I teach on righteousness, I always start there. Man was born in sin because of Adam. And all mankind lies in sin. And the only way to get out of sin is to be born again. That's why in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Because the only thing that Adam can reproduce is after his own kind. And when he's law, that's a law in there in Genesis, the first chapter. Every tree reproduces after its kind. Every animal reproduces after its kind. Every bird reproduces after its kind. God reproduced after His own kind. And so Adam and Eve were birthed and made righteous when they were born. Now when they sinned, all they could reproduce was sinners. That's why, you know, your problem, my problem as lost people has nothing to do with how good or bad we are. It has to do with who we are. We're lost by nature. We're doomed by birth. How do you get out of that dilemma? You got to be born again. Woo, that's good stuff. That's better than y'all are preaching. I'm telling you, that's a good preaching. But the point I'm making here is that you're important to God. That's better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got it backwards. That's all. Y'all love me. You got to stay with me here. You know what I intended to say, you know. God looks at us in such a way, and with such love and such compassion, because He made us in His image. Don't ever think God doesn't care about you. Of course He cares about you. You were made in the image and the likeness of God. In fact, you will never see anything, any creature, any idol, anything ever in your life that comes closer to what God looks like than man can. That's why our sins generally boil down to sins against mankind. That's why we're to love each other, because we're made in the likeness and image of God. Hello? Amen. Think about it. And so God cares about us more than the spotted owls, more than the whales. And I'm not about going out slaughtering whales or killing spotted owls, but we've gone wacko with this idea that we're on the same level with creation. We're not on the same level with creation. God put us above creation. In fact, He put us in charge of creation. And the creation's in the mess it's in because of what Adam did or mankind did. And when God redeems creation, He starts with man. Notice He started with man when He sent Jesus to redeem us. And eventually all of creation will be redeemed. But first, man. Because man's got to be right because man's responsible. Hello. Even Jesus said this in Mark the 8th chapter. He says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's an amazing statement. That wouldn't stand up with a lot of environmentalists. And I believe in taking care of our environment. I do not believe in polluting rivers. I always have to make that distinction because I know sometimes people get so radical they're just almost loading up a shotgun to go kill a whale, you know, after a sermon like this. Now, we're not for pollution. We need to take care of our environment and so on and so forth. Why? Because we're responsible for it. But let's don't elevate it above us, and let's don't put it on the same plane as us. God didn't do it that way. And I believe God's got more sense than we do. Are you with me? Hello. So God starts with us and redeeming us. Because of us, mankind, the world fell in sin. And so He starts with man to redeem the whole world. Because it's got to start with the head, the one in charge, the one made in His image and His likeness. And then it will all be redeemed eventually. And praise God, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. There are no red bugs, chiggers, ticks, mosquitoes. Hallelujah. No poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac. Glory to God. Amen. But see, you are important. Don't you buy the lie that you don't count. Every one of us is of great value to Jesus, great value to God. We were made in the very image and the very likeness of God. You never passed in Brookshire's the aisle, grocery aisle, a mere human with your shopping cart. Your shopping cart. You never have seen a just mere human. There is no such thing. There are potential. I'm cautious the way I say this because I know people twist things. We're not God and we're not ever going to be God. But there are potential gods in the sense of that God's going to change us and glorify us to be like Him and look like Him. We'll be His children. He'll still be God. We're not God. But there's no question in my mind that if you were to see each other glorified, you'd probably fall on your face and be tempted to worship each other, and it'd be wrong to do that. You say, oh, what are you talking about? John did it. John did it in Revelation. He fell down to worship some of the messengers that were talking to him, and they said, get up. We hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. But he saw someone so awesome that he was overwhelmed by the beauty and the splendor and the awesomeness of it. That's what you're going to be like and I'm going to be like one day. And everybody out here in the world that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why we ought to have a heart to lead people to Jesus, because that's what they can be. That's what they were intended to be. Every single one of them. No matter what their personality is, no matter whether you like them or don't like them, let's get real here. Jesus died for everybody. Amen. And He created us in His image. Image and likeness. Titzalim demuth, those Hebrew words. In fact, outward form or appearance really is what they literally mean. It's the same word translated, thou shalt not make any graven image or likeness of anything to fall down and worship it. In Exodus 20, where you get the Ten Commandments. What does He mean, make a likeness or an image of anything to worship it? Let's get it down where you understand it. You carve something out to look like something. Isn't that what it means? Don't make any graven image or likeness of anything to fall down and worship it. In other words, carve out a dog and worship it. Carve out a tree and worship it. I mean, people worship all kinds of things, you know. But God's saying don't make an image of anything to worship it. He's not against images per se, but He's against you worshiping images, carving out images to worship them. Why would He be concerned about that? Because God has already made an image of Himself, you and me. And God's not an idol, a dumb idol that cannot speak nor see. God is a living, breathing entity. He's alive. You're the closest thing to what God looks like you'll ever see until you see Jesus or you go to heaven. That's why we should love one another, honor one another, respect one another. You cannot say you love God who you cannot see if you do not love your brother who you do see. See how that all comes together now. Why is that? Because we're of infinite value to God. Every one of us. Gave His only begotten Son to redeem us when we fail. Jesus didn't hang on the cross for the monkeys, the birds and the bees, and the flowers and the trees. He hung on the cross for you. And for me, because we were created in the image of God. Notice this in the fifth chapter, Genesis 5. I want to stir you. I want to just, you know, give you some Bible confidence. Some Word of God confidence. I'm just a loser. No, you're not. You're a winner in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, God just doesn't care about me. Are you kidding? What do you mean? You'll never ever care about anything in your whole life like God cares about you. You never had a daddy that loved you like He loved you. You never had a mama that loved you like He loved you. You never had anybody, wife or husband or children, that loved you as much as God loves you. You can never touch the infinite love of God that He has for you. Or see yourself, really think about it, the way He sees you. God sees what you can be. He sees what He made you to be. And that's the way He talks about you. Even in Job's case, remember He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none righteous like him." Job wasn't perfect. In fact, he recorded some of his sins. David committed adultery, and God says about David, He said, "He's a man after my own heart." Now, he didn't excuse his sin. David paid for his sin, no question. It cost him big time. But God sees what we can be. And He loves us, and He cares for us. We were created in the image of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Fifth chapter of Genesis notes this. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam and the day that God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. He made him in the likeness of God. Now some people say, well, you don't know what God looks like. Well, I guess I do. He made an image of him. Me. Hello? It's like that little kid. He's in the first grade and they're drawing pictures and everything. And the teacher walks up to him and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." It's just, well, you don't know what God looks like. Nobody knows what God looks like. The little kid says, "They will when I get through." Now, if you go through the Scripture, when God was seen, and He's been seen several times in the Old Testament and New Testament, He's been seen by individuals, He's been seen by large groups. Of course, John saw Him sitting on the throne. Every time that He's been seen, other than when we're talking about Him metaphorically, you know, when you talk about His protection, wrap His arms around us, you know, like a bird would wrap His arms. Jesus talked about that. A mother hen would embrace her chicks. He would embrace Jerusalem. That's metaphorical. That's simile. But when He's literally seen, Moses saw Him face to face. And the elders with Moses sat down and ate meat with Him. The Bible tells us. Ezekiel saw Him sitting on the throne. John sees Him in Revelation. Every time He's literally seen, He has arms and legs and eyes and ears. Now, don't extrapolate or equate that to God being human. He's not. Don't extrapolate, use a big word, or just lay that idea over on God having limitations. He doesn't have limitations. You say, well, He's got arms and legs like we do. He can't be everywhere at one time. No, God can be everywhere at one time. See, where you mess up is where you see that He has legs and arms and eyes and ears, and you begin to think He has the same limitations we have with our legs, arms, and eyes and ears. No, we are like an idol or a picture of someone compared to God. You catching this? So you can look at a picture of someone, but that picture doesn't have the abilities and the powers that real person the picture is of has. So we are limited in this flesh, in this body, and flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are just an image or a picture in that sense. Now we will be released in one day. This corruption will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. Woo, and death will be swallowed up of life, and the grave will lose its victory, and death will lose its sting. Hallelujah, somebody. One day God's going to cut the strings and the puppets are going to come alive. Pinocchio is going to live again. That day's coming. There's a rustling, see, through that we know by the Spirit these things are going to happen. Oh, we have some limitations, but there are none in the Spirit. There are none in that new body, in that glorified state that we're going to be in. God has no limitations. Although he has arms, legs, and eyes, and ears, those are spirit arms, eyes, ears, legs. And so you can't put those kind of limitations on God. So don't think that when we talk about being made in his likeness and his image and so on and so forth. Amen?
Amen.
But nonetheless, that being said, it says here in the fifth chapter, first verse, in the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Woo! He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. Then it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Same words. Come on, he's talking about having a kid look like him. Now, he'd already had Cain and Abel. But here he had his son in his own likeness and his own image. So he must look a whole lot like him, I guess. Are you with me? I mean, that's the only thing I can get from that. Just like you have a son in your own image. Well, God made us in his own image. And children generally do look like their parents, as it were. And so we, in a fallen state somewhat here, still look like him in the sense that he's walking, talking, breathing, alive. Amen? Amen? And this you see all through the Scripture. So you are separate from creation. You have to think of yourself separate from creation. All creation testifies of his glory, but only us, only we came from God. Birth from God. He made everything else with his hands, but he breathed into us the breath of life, and we became a living soul. And we were made in his very image and his very likeness. He may claim to be the creator of all that was made, but he is the father of mankind. Woo! Hallelujah. That's why he doesn't want you worshiping anything else. Look at Psalms 106. Ought to have a little more respect for each other. This won't just raise your esteem and the way you look at yourself. This will raise the way you look at other people. The way they can be and should be. The way God sees them. Amen? Because within every one of us is a potential Jesus. Okay, now this world sound bites, I'll take that and twist that if you take it out of context. No way you're ever going to do what Jesus did in the sense of dying for somebody's sin and rising again. No way you're ever going to be the only begotten Son of God, I understand that. No way you're ever going to be the Christ, but every one of us should be little Jesuses.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, that's what he came to do, is duplicate himself in us. And we're as Christ, we should forgive as Christ. We should be more Christ-like. We should be imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians 5th chapter 1st verse tells us that. We know 1 John 4:17 tells us this, that as he is, so are we in this world. So we do represent him. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. I'm not God, not going to be. You're not God, not going to be. But we were made in his image and his likeness. We're the closest thing to God that the world will ever see until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are made in the very image and the very likeness of God. And when we love, hopefully people do see Jesus in us. I see the Lord in him. I see Jesus in him. You know, I tell you that guy or that woman, that you know, you can just see Jesus all in them. That's what we're talking about. That's really being a reflection. We are reflections. I will make that statement. We are not the sun. We're reflections of that light. At best, we're the moon that reflects the light. We're satellites around the sun. Hallelujah. You'll never be the sun. You're always going to be a satellite. The only thing you get to choose really is which sun you're going to satellite around. You'll never be the noun. You'll always be the adjective. The only thing you get to choose who you're going to compliment. But there's always going to be another noun. It's not going to be you. It's either going to be God or the devil or somebody, but it's not going to be you. You're just an adjective, and that's all you're ever going to be. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They tried to be nouns and they were just adjectives. Hello. I heard that. I was reading a book. It's about team players and being on a team. It was Rick Pitino, who used to be the head coach of the Boston Celtics. He said the thing that he began to look for in a team is not stars that were shining out in their own solar system, but guys that would get together and become one solar system. He said he had too many stars out there, you know, trying to be stars in their own solar system out there somewhere. And to be a real team, you had to be one solar system. You had to be a part of this team. Amen? And so it is with God. You'll never be God, and you'll never be a God. But you were made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? So it says here in Psalms 106, y'all found it? Is this helping you? Verse 20, notice what it says. Well, let's back up to the 19th. Verse 19. They made a calf in Horeb. He's talking about the children of Israel. When Moses went upon the mount, they went and made a calf, a golden calf, and worshipped it. And they worshipped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Now think about this. They made an image of a calf and worshipped it and said, that's God, we're going to worship that. Well, the problem with that is this. God made us in His image. God's word cannot be changed. So if you make an image of a calf and say that's God, you just called yourself a cow. Because you will change your glory into whatever you worship. Hello? We find that true today if you worship a rock star. Kids worship rock. They'll start dressing like them, talking like them. They will actually change into who they worship. You have people that you look up to sometimes too much, and you spend too much time in awe of them, as it were, and elevating them, as it were. There's nothing wrong with heroes and mentors and role models. We need that. But sometimes we almost get to the point of worshiping actors and actresses and so on and so forth, or whether it's it could be a football star or a basketball star. And before long, we're trying to pick up the sayings they say and wear the clothes they wear. And what we're doing, see, whoever you worship, it's just a natural thing. God made us that way. We begin to turn ourselves into who we worship. You change your glory into whatever you worship. Ooh, hallelujah. You worship the hero on the movies, you be a mean, self-centered person. Because really, usually the hero in the movies, he just kills all of his enemies and they're all wiped out. Life's not that way. You can't shoot everybody. Some people you have to live with. I mean, it makes for a good movie, you know, the good guy comes in and kills all the bad guys and everybody lives happily ever after. But that's why they call it a movie. Because in real life, it doesn't work that way. You don't go out there and kill all your enemies. But if you think that way, then you'll just be a very self-centered person. If that's your hero and you're always looking, you start quoting their lines and so on. And I quote lines too, but I try to keep it balanced here. I worship God. I realize I can't call everybody out there at high noon out here and just have a standoff and shoot them. I like a good Western like anybody, but I know life's not that way. Hello. So the more you worship God, the more it'll be evident in your life because you're created in His image and His likeness. You were made to love, be loved by Him and to love Him, to fellowship with Him. Hello. And you're made through that to be changed into that. Oh, I love that. You can tell someone's spending time with God. You can tell when someone has spent time serving the Lord, worshiping God, reading the Bible, studying, praising God, going to church. They are different. They are different people. They don't think the same. They don't act the same. They're being changed from glory to glory by that image. Ooh, hallelujah. And so we should never let anything have first place in our life except Jesus. Never. Because we'll be changed into whatever we worship. Turn with me to Romans, first chapter. So there comes this responsibility. We're very important to God, no question about that. We count with God, no question about it. We are the most important thing He ever made. He never created anything like us. He birthed us into being and made us in His image and His likeness. Angels desire to look into the things that concern salvation. Do you know that? Romans 1. Notice the 21st verse. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They lost their focus. They forgot where they came from. They forgot who made them. They forgot the hand that fed them. They forgot the author of their success. It can be easy to do. You can get wrapped up in the world and forget God. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the things in this life choke out the word. Don't ever forget, we were made by God, and we were made in His image. And we live, we move, and have our very being in God, as Paul said in the book of Acts. This is another day that the Lord has blessed me. This day is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I'm alive because of God. I count because of God. I have purpose because of God. I have a destiny because of God. I came from God. I was made in His image. Don't ever forget that. Hello? Don't become futile in your thoughts. And you know how one way you get that way? Because you don't thank Him and you don't glorify Him as God. 21st verse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. I mean, when something comes your way, do you thank God? Something good happens, do you give Him glory? Do you realize you were made in His image, that He made you for that purpose and intent? He made you to succeed. He made you to subdue and to conquer. He made you in His image and His likeness. Every good thing comes your way, you ought to praise God. Hallelujah. See, it just shows how important you are to Him, how much you count with Him, what you were made for. When you overcome sin, you ought to thank God. Amen? When you're able to help someone, you ought to thank God for that. Don't be futile in your thinking. Don't think you did it by your own hand. Your own might. In fact, the Bible even tells us, Deuteronomy the 8th chapter says, beware lest when you are full and you've eaten and you've lived in goodly houses and your gold and silver is multiplied and your cattle is multiplied, beware lest you say in your heart, the might of my hand and my power have got me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with you. Don't ever forget. Amen. Now notice this. The transition, they weren't thankful. They did not glorify God. They became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. All of a sudden, it's the wise thing to do not to believe in God, not to believe in miracles. It's childish and heathen and backwards, as it is, as it were, to believe in any kind of healing or miracles or anything supernatural things. All of a sudden, the smart people don't believe in those kinds of things. The wise people know better than whether there's a God out there or not. Hello. Professing to be wise, they became fools. See, the Bible says the fool in his heart has said there is no God. They get so smart, they even think that we came from monkeys. Now, you got to be real smart to think that. Hello. And, 23rd verse, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, dishonor their bodies among themselves. Actually, he goes on and talks about homosexuality, how men work with men and women work with women, how it's a sin. And by the way, that's in the Bible, New Testament, incidentally, where it is a sin. God doesn't hate homosexuals. Anybody can repent. If they will repent and ask God to forgive them, God will forgive them. He'll forgive adulterers. He'll forgive liars. He'll forgive murderers. He'll forgive stealing, all those things. Homosexuality is a sin that can be repented of, but it's not good and it's not right and it's not okay. And I know some people say, well, that's real hard-nosed and you're real homophobic. No, I'm not homophobic. I'm not liar-phobic. I'm not adultery-phobic. I'm not stealing-phobic. I'm not afraid of any of those sins. I just know what they are. They are what they are. They're sins. And we don't hate people that do those things. We've all sinned. But, you know, we don't want to just candy coat and say it's okay. It's not okay. It's wrong. Hello. Nobody hates anybody here. So we're talking about a standard. Whether God's word is right or not, whether it's true or not, whether His standard is the standard or not, or whether we can create our own standard. We can profess ourselves to be wise, but we become utter fools. We were made in the image and the likeness of God. God has the final word on truth and on righteousness and what's right and what's wrong. Hello. I'm a Christian. I love what Billy Graham said one time when they pinned him or tried to pin him on Jesus being the only way to heaven. And one of the journalists asked him years ago, and of course they're very respectful of Brother Billy Graham, and what an awesome man of God has gone all over the world and preached Jesus and people have gotten saved all around the world. Nobody, my goodness, in our generation has done what that man has done for salvation's sake in people's lives. And they asked him, you know, sir, what are you saying here that if there's a young Jewish boy that gave his life to Jewish faith and lived his whole life in the Jewish faith and died Reverend Billy Graham, are you saying that he would go to hell because he did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And he said the most amazing thing. I thought it was so good. I never will forget. He said, no, I'm not saying that. Jesus said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What Reverend Billy Graham is saying is that I believe what Jesus said. You have to make your choice whether you believe that or not. Hello. See, and when we're talking about things out of the Bible, we're saying what God says. And you know what we're saying? We're saying we believe what God says. And everybody has to make that choice where they believe that this is God's Word and where they believe what God says. But we've made our choice. We are Christians. We are believers. We believe the Bible. Amen? And according to the Bible, we didn't come from a monkey. According to the Bible, everybody counts and everybody's important. Everybody's somebody. According to the Bible, God loves us all. We're of infinite value to God. According to the Bible, He loves us with an everlasting love, the Bible tells us. Woo, hallelujah. And He will love us. In fact, He loves people all the way to hell. If they choose to go that way, He will not violate their will. He will not override them. He won't just take them over. He's a perfect gentleman in that respect. He lets them make the choice. He doesn't want them to come to Him by force. God doesn't force anybody to love Him. He gives us the choice. But that being said, we all count with Him. We're all important to Him. And we were made in His image. And I'll tell you, we'll look at all this as an old tale one day. This will all pass away. One day we will be changed into His likeness and His image and His glory. We are in a fallen way. But one day we'll be glorified. And all creation travails to now waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 chapter where He talks about that. But here we see that they changed the glory of the incorruptible God. God's not a tree, as great as trees are. God's not an animal, as great as animals are. All the images you can come up with. It's amazing to me, most of your pagan religions, God's always mean-looking, ugly-looking. You ever notice that sometimes? I mean, he looks like an elephant with 1,500 arms or something, you know, or just some ugly-looking thing. In Hinduism, we've got some ugly-looking gods. In some of the African religions, I mean, they're mean-looking. They're bloodthirsty, got fangs hanging out and everything, you know. But see, God's a God of love. God made us in His image. If anything, He looks like us, just an inkling, just a glimmer on our best day. Hello. Amen. When we've done the best we can do, we're just glowing. We just got the glory of God all over us. That's just a glimpse, just an inkling of what God would look like. God is good. Woo. Turn to James. I'm bringing this to close. James, 3rd chapter. Man, I want to stir you. Don't let the devil call you a loser and a liar. Don't let him tell you you're not going to make it. Don't let him tell you God doesn't love you, doesn't care about you. I'm telling you, God cares about you more than anything, more than all creation. In fact, He made the whole creation, all of the earth, everything in it, and then He made man to put in it just like He'd make a home for someone He loved and finished it out completely, and then He set man in it. And then He brought all the animals before Him and all the birds, says, you just name them whatever you want to name them. This is yours. I give it all to you. Isn't that awesome? And then we get wrapped up in things instead of Him. Listen, everything out here is yours. In fact, one day you're going to get it all. We will inherit the whole earth. God didn't have a problem prospering you. Of course He wants to prosper you. But He doesn't want you. He didn't want you to. You can have all everything in the world as long as it doesn't have you. I think of 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I like that. Everything was given to us to enjoy, not to be dominated by. No, we're supposed to dominate it. It's not supposed to dominate us. We don't serve the Almighty Dollar. We serve God. And everything else serves us. Now we rule over things, not each other. Okay, don't twist that. Third chapter, James. Here he's talking about the tongue. Everybody say the tongue. And he says, Oh, goodness. I don't know where to start this thing. He talks about bits in the horse's mouth. He talks about, sixth verse. And the tongue is a fire. You have to watch that saying from East Texas because people think it's a long ways off. But you'll have to think about that one anyway. The tongue is a fire. It's far. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. Start spewing off stuff, spitting out stuff. You listen to the devil, and then you're setting the fire. You are setting your house on fire. You're setting your job on fire, your life on fire. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. I think that's interesting because man was here to tame things, not to be ruled over, subdued, conquered by things, but to tame things. In fact, really, God made you to keep the garden and dress the garden. Originally, that's what he made mankind for. All God's creation was really supposed to be kept in order by mankind. Boy, that's a new twist. I hate to say this right at the end of this message here, too, because you're going to have to think about this. You are here to make a difference. You are here to tame a crazy, wild, fallen world that you live in. For your household's sake, for your body's sake, for your business' sake, you are here to tame the beast. Your emotions, whatever those things are. Now, you can't do it by yourself, but see, you're not by yourself. You can't do it on your own, but you're not on your own. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are not made to be subdued and conquered by this world or by emotions or by sin. You are set here by God to make a difference. You know, we're making a difference in this church. Every church should make a difference in a community. Every church should grab the reins of morality in that city and be a force of light and good and righteousness. And are you with me? And promote the gospel and turn some things around and tame a town. We're town tamers. That's who we are. Speaking of Western, we come in this town to tame it. Every church comes into a town to tame it. You come into a situation to tame that thing. Don't let your tongue run wild. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue, of course, by himself, is what he's talking about. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No man can do it, but God can do it. With it, and this is the point we'll get to, with it, that tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Wow. See, he stops there. He makes a distinction here. He says, wait a minute, whoa, don't be talking about each other that way. You remember, you were made in the likeness of God. Everybody out here was made in the likeness of God. Sometimes, you know, we think about, we often rejoice even sometimes when people get a bad report of someone that has been a sinner, someone that has done wrong, and we hear this report, maybe they're going to die, or they got this or got that, and we almost rejoice. You better repent. You better get on your knees and pray. Because it's easy, even politically, to get wrapped up in the political arena and just rejoice when someone falls that is of another persuasion, doesn't believe like we do. You got to guard your heart. You got to watch your heart, because God loves that person just like he loves you. They're wrong maybe in their doctrine, wrong in the approach they're making, and you need to stand against them, vote against them. And when it comes to the polls, I understand that. But you don't ever pray for the hurt of anyone. Hello. Or curse what God blessed. See, that's what's so wrong, to curse each other, to hate each other. That's why we have to forgive each other. Why? Because we are made in the likeness and the image of God. And with the same mouth it says, we bless our God, Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude and the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And the reason being is, it all ties back to the same thing we started out with, we were made in the image and the likeness of God. You got great potential. I tell you, you got God on your side. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. You count. You're important. Don't you believe the lie that you're a nobody, that you have no future, that you don't count, you're never going to be anything. That is a lie from the devil and hell. Don't let your tongue get set on fire of hell. No, 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 no. Start saying what God says about you. Amen. You know what the Bible says? It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. And all things are of God. Think about it. Who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Not only am I made in the image of God originally, fell from him through Adam's sin, I have been brought back to God through Jesus Christ now. And I am a child of the living God, the maker and the heaven of the heavens and earth, the one who set the stars in the sky. That's my daddy. Don't mess with me. I mean, you know, when you think about the devil, you tell the devil that. Don't mess with me. No, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
You take authority over the devil, you resist him, the Bible says he'll flee.